Welcome to It's All Journalism. My name is Michael O'Connell. Today I'm here with Mark Amtower. He does the radio show Amtower Off Center here at Federal News Radio in Washington, D.C. Mark's a marketing guy, right?
I am a marketing guy.
And how long have you been in marketing?
Started my company in 1985, advising companies on all aspects of marketing to the government.
Okay. And the reason I asked you in here, and I had actually mentioned this on an earlier podcast where we were talking about LinkedIn, is that you and I were going to have a conversation about how to use LinkedIn. At work, they want me to sort of learn as much as I can about LinkedIn and see how we can sort of integrate it in the way that we promote our stories, get sources, mm-hmm. Just sort of generally get our content out there on a different social media platform. And LinkedIn is a different social media type of platform. How did you come to LinkedIn?
I was invited early on. I'm one of the first 250,000 members of LinkedIn, so I've been on since February of 2004, about 8 months after it actually launched. Facebook, I joined LinkedIn the week after Facebook launched at Harvard. That's mm-hmm. how long I've been there. I was invited by a couple of people in the government market, and I knew these guys were not time wasters.
Mm-hmm.
I joined. I didn't get active until 2007, though. I had to read a couple of books on how social media was really changing the learning and marketing landscape, PR landscape as well.
Mm-hmm.
I decided to study it, and I focused exclusively on LinkedIn at that point because it is all business. Business professionals join a business professionals from mm-hmm. around the world. We're now at 210 million members. But the cool thing is not the number of members. It's the number of groups there. There's about 1.7 million groups on LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. And these are self-identified communities of people who share various interests. So
right.
Any IT topic you can imagine is covered there. There's probably over at least 1,000 groups that deal with various aspects of the government.
Mm-hmm.
So legislative groups, lobbying groups, but a lot of groups that are in my sweet spot, which is government contracting.
Right. And that's really kind of where you've sort of been concentrating on things and sort of learned or wielded what you've learned and to some degree of success. So what do you think LinkedIn does well for as far as, from a marketing standpoint, getting to people
from a marketing standpoint, it does something that I call connecting dots in the dark. You know there are certain types of people in certain companies. You don't know who they are, but through LinkedIn, you can look up the company, and if the company has a profile, it will tell you how many of the employees of that company are there, whether they're first, second, or other degree to you. If they're first or second, you can peruse them. The first degree connections, obviously, mm-hmm. you know, or you kind of know. The second degrees, there's usually a lot more of those, but you're able to look at them. So you can find the kinds of people you want.
Right.
And you can find the kinds of experts you need.
And from a journalist standpoint, that's something that's really useful if you know of a type of story that's going to fire regulations or something like
right.
that. You can do some sort of search on a group for that. You can find somebody who has that expertise, and you can maybe, go to them for a source.
Right.
A couple of weeks ago, LinkedIn for Journalists, which is one of these groups that LinkedIn has specifically targeted for journalists, had a training session that people could call into and follow along on their desktop, and it was sort of a guide and a walk through the basics of LinkedIn. And I have kind of mixed feelings about the experience. It was mostly, I would say, just sort of a field trip through LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm.
It's like this is how you set up a profile. This is where the groups are. This is what this is. There wasn't a lot of hands-on. This is how you use it. But I think for anybody who wants to get an understanding, who's fresh coming to it, I think it's a good first step. Is just getting to know. Make sure you fill out your profile.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you know how to make connections. Make sure you know how to find people on there through their specialities and things like that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, from that level, I think it's a really good starting point. So do you have any thoughts about how people who want to get into it should start?
Yeah, have a goal. Understand what your strategy is before you come in, because that's going to impact how you build your profile. Mm-hmm. how you make connections and the groups that you select. So, you know, you have to have an end point when you're mm-hmm. starting this thing. So just be clear about what you want to do and then build your profile accordingly. For reporters, you know, if you really want to leverage LinkedIn, your profile has to be pretty informationally robust about who you are, what you've right. done, where you've been. And when you reach out to people, they'll understand the value you could bring to them by talking mm-hmm. to them. Now, as a reporter, oftentimes, especially with the larger companies, you have to deal with the flacks,
right.
the PR people in the
PIOs.
Companies.
Yeah.
You know, communications, whatever they want to call themselves. In the government market, you have to do the same thing. So there's communications officers. If you want to talk to a senior Fed, you've got to jump through the same kind of hoops, often more,
right.
to do that. You can find those people on LinkedIn.
Right.
They're pretty obvious.
Right. And what's nice is, you know, I mentioned before about, you know, finding people who have specialities. Like you said, you're going to have to go through a lot of the same hoops that you would normally do if you're dealing with a company that or a government agency, which where, you know, you've got to go through the front door and you've got to follow the procedure and talk to the right people. But sometimes you just need an expert, a source on something specialized, and this is sort of a way to get your entree in there. And the other thing I'd like to expand on, which I thought was an excellent point that you made, is that LinkedIn is a really good platform for getting information about you out there. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people, when I know that one of my first exposures to it was in thinking about looking for another job. Mm-hmm. So you put your resume up, you put your experience up, and then you try to, you know, look for opportunities in some of the groups and you know, sort of link up with people who are in the same career field, career path, who can, you know, maybe open up those avenues and everything. But once you sort of go beyond that, and you think about what you're going to put in your profile, to, you know, you want to, you know, present yourself as somebody who's reputable. And,
right.
and the great thing about social media, and I think people who've done Facebook, and to a degree, I think to Twitter, is that they realize that the more you put out there about yourself, the more trusted you can become or you're perceived to be.
Right. And if you're, from my perspective, I have a blog, I do Twitter, I write a lot of articles for mm-hmm. various media. I like to share information, but I can't just share my own information. When I find things that are germane to
right.
specific communities, I share those. And I try to keep the ratio at somewhere around 3 to 4 to 1, 3 other people's articles and 1 of mine.
Right. Yeah, so, and that's stuff that sort of throws up into your, they call it, the news stream or whatever it is on there.
Well, I post them in groups.
Right.
But what it does is not simply raise my visibility, but if the articles are truly germane to the group, it raises my credibility.
Right.
And the same thing for journalists. If, you know, if you're an unemployed journalist looking for a job and you have a blog, you know, post news germane to very specific groups and then,
right.
you know, include your blog posts among that, and you're raising your visibility to other media people
right.
as a result. So if there's an opening there, the likelihood is they already know who you are.
Right. Right. Oh, no. Yeah. You definitely get your voice out there. And I've sort of taken advantage of that. You know, in the 6 months, 6 or 7 months that I've been sort of concentrating on LinkedIn, as a way to promote the podcast is, you know, as we put up new episodes, is promoting them in certain groups that are, journalism, you know, themed or,
right.
That, you know, find the audience, the people who would be interested in it and put it in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been able to get, you know, get comments and feedback on that and people share it as they would like on Facebook or something. But then also you can connect with them and it sort of branches out, you know, we're kind of in the luxury that we're actually covering media. So being in that space, you know, it sort of helps us with the content that we're doing. Now, what about promoting other people and connections? Let's talk about connections first. Do you make a lot of new connections? How do you?
I have over 5,000 connections on LinkedIn.
Okay.
But it's part of my strategy to be among the most visible people in government contracting
mm-hmm.
and among the most connected. So when people want to reach out to someone else, oftentimes they'll do it through me. So I'll see company A connecting with company X
mm-hmm.
and I, you know, that feeds me information that, you know, this person may be looking for a job, but there may be, you know, teaming, partnering going on here. I, you know, the more I know about what's going on in the market, the better.
Right, right. And yeah. Do people contact you when they LinkedIn, or have you seen things on LinkedIn that then become content for you in some other way, that you contact somebody and say, hey, I want to interview for your radio show?
Well, I monitor the discussion. I'm in the max number of groups you're allowed, which is 50, mm-hmm. and 48 of those are related to some aspect of the government market.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a couple that are you know, local to closer to where I live. So I'm monitoring discussions. It definitely gives me not only topics that are trending, mm-hmm. but gives me, like media, technically I'm not media. I do a once-a-week radio
right.
show. I'm not
right.
a pro. But it allows me to identify the experts. And I've met some extraordinarily bright people mm-hmm. through LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm.
They're just top-of-the-line folks, you know, specialists in business development, capture management, other marketing people, some great salespeople, and some really, really good business owners, people who get leveraging the social networking platform to build their business.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about promoting content. One of the reasons that you and I are talking is my job, they want me to learn a little bit more about LinkedIn so that we can promote more of our content out there. Since we last spoke, I built a company page. I've started posting articles in there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's the best way to sort of get, if I've got a news outlet or something, I want to get, make sure I get our content and some of our reporters and our staff and people on LinkedIn, put them visible there. What's the best way to do that?
Best way to do it is probably through the groups. But as one person, you're going to be limited to the number of groups that you can join. So it's got to be more of a staff-wide. Some of the other producers have to join. So Tom and Emily's producers should be there.
Mm-hmm.
Francis' producers should be there. If Jason has a producer,
sure.
That kind of thing. So you can broaden your footprint group-wise. But, take Jason's show. Ask the CIO.
Mm-hmm.
I will cut and paste the link occasionally when I find something germane, because I actually listen to Federal News Radio when I'm driving.
Mm-hmm.
And I always learn something, which
right.
is cool. So, but when I learn something and I want to share something,
mm-hmm.
I post it in very specific groups.
Mm-hmm.
I write for Washington Technology. They used to have the top stories of the week thing
right.
on the side of the page. Whenever I would post my articles in Wash Tech, and 2 days later, I would always be in the top two.
Mm-hmm.
So I would be driving traffic. It's hard to overemphasize the value of the groups, because again, these are targeted communities. It can
right.
be hundreds of people. It can be tens of thousands of
right.
people, but they'll all get that email once a day. These are the new discussions in the group. These are the most popular
right.
discussions. So, as a traffic driver, finding the right groups for the right information
right.
is incredible. And in their last, quarterly Wall Street, briefing, whatever you call those things, Jeff Weiner, the current CEO of LinkedIn, said that their next big push is going to be how to share more content through the platform. So I'm kind of anxious to see
mm-hmm.
what they're doing. I know part of it's going to be advertising.
Right.
But part of it has to be making those groups more robust and to be able to target the information feed that you get when you go on your LinkedIn homepage.
Yeah, and we had a podcast when we first talked about LinkedIn a few weeks back when we were talking to Jason Huffman of Food Chemical News, and he was the one who actually first encouraged me to start posting in LinkedIn groups. And one of the things he would do is if they had a particular story that was a little not necessarily their mainstream story, but could possibly have a slightly wider appeal, he would go around and look for a group and say, hey, yeah, I think the example he gave was about school lunches. So he
mm-hmm.
went and he looked for like a principal's group or something like that. And he
mm-hmm.
got people to click on it and read the story. And it was just, thinking about how you can make yourself more aware and finding audience and everything. Another thing that I know that you've been sort of pushing for us is getting that button on our website, getting that button on our stories.
Share button for LinkedIn, yeah.
Why should we be doing that?
Because it makes it much easier for people when they find information to just have that synapse click and say, oh, they have a LinkedIn button. I can post it to a couple of those groups that I like.
Mm-hmm.
So when you click on the LinkedIn button, you have three options. It'll post to your profile. You can send it to individuals that you're connected to, or you can post it to groups.
Mm-hmm.
If you click on the groups button and just type in A where it says start typing
sure.
a group, all of the groups that you belong to that start with A pop up. You can post a story or a link into up to 50 groups at a time.
Right.
So if it's germane, it may not be germane to all the groups you belong to, and you may not belong to 50, but if it's germane to five groups, it's
right.
very, it takes you about 60 seconds to post it to those groups. And this does two things. It shares the information, and it raises the visibility of the person that posts that link.
Now, and I think anybody who is familiar with, you know, posting to Facebook and Twitter, and certainly if they go to websites, they'll see these buttons in there. We talk a lot about LinkedIn for Federal News Radio because there are a lot of people in the federal government, a lot of people in our audience, federal managers, who are LinkedIn and may not and think of LinkedIn as their, you know, this is my business space, this is where I want to concentrate on these issues, and they'll keep Facebook and Twitter for other things. So, you know, having that button there, like having a button for Facebook and Twitter, which we already have on our website, just another platform people will share on.
The other thing that could be important, rather than simply post a link to the story,
mm-hmm.
You have the ability to put in your own headline.
Right.
And you can comment on it.
Right.
So you can share why you think this story is important. You don't have to write much. A sentence
right.
or two is fine.
Yeah, and it's fairly similar to Facebook in that respect, but again, we're talking about a different style of platform where it's more business oriented, marketing oriented. You know,
from my perspective, it's the coolest marketing platform I've ever seen. I've been doing this a long time.
Yeah, but you're doing it from a marketing angle. Is there anything else about LinkedIn that you think is really kind of important?
Your ability to reporters need to know who the thought leaders are for each niche,
mm-hmm.
subject matter experts, and those are two different things. Subject matter expert may know more about it, but from my perspective, a thought leader is somebody who's out there sharing more.
Mm-hmm.
So there may be people a little deeper on a subject, but they're not willing to share as much, or they're
mm-hmm.
just restricted in their ability to share.
Right.
But as reporters, you need to know who these people are.
Right.
And your ability to reach out to connect to them is much easier on a platform like LinkedIn, as long as you don't send that crappy form letter.
Right.
You know, I want you in my network on LinkedIn.
Right. And that's an interesting thing. How do you personalize something like that?
When I'm reaching out to anyone on LinkedIn, most likely we already share connections because I'm reaching out
mm-hmm.
to somebody in the government market.
Right.
So I'll say we share X number of connections to government markets and maybe two or three groups.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm interested in having someone from your agency or your company as part of my network.
Yeah, and again, that was one of those other things that they in the LinkedIn for Journalists discussion that they did bring up that I thought was actually pretty cool. It's like put some personalization into what you're doing.
Yes.
Don't just make it an automatic ticket. You know, you may have a quote unquote form that you have on your desktop that you copy and you sort of build off of, but make sure you personalize it. And the other thing is the
You brought up earlier when you were looking for a job, it's a great place to post your resume. I don't think people should post resumes here.
Mm-hmm.
What you want to do is tell your story.
Mm-hmm.
And your story begins above the fold here on LinkedIn. As soon
sure.
as that first screenshot happens, there has to be something that compels people to read further down. It's just like news.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So you got to have a good headshot. You have to have name, just a name, and use the headline space. Tell people not where you work, but what you do, what
right.
you're interested in.
Right.
So it compels them to look a little, you know, reporter at BGov. Whoopee. What do you cover at
right.
BGov? What do you cover at Federal News
Radio? What do you find interesting there?
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, and it implies who you're looking for.
Right. Right, and actually, now I remember the point I was gonna bring up. The other thing in the LinkedIn for Journalists that I thought was really valuable was the encouraging of sort of due diligence. that you put in some time, you spend some time on LinkedIn and use it. You know, you said, you know, go into it with a strategy. Well, you know, if you want to sort of build up the people that you're connected with, you know, maybe, you know, every day you go in, you look at the stories that people have posted, you post a new story of your own, then you like a bunch of other stories. And if some of those stories that you like, and then you maybe may comment on are people that you're not connected to but are in your group, you connect with them. And
now you're on their radar.
Right, right. You're sort of building those connections and sort of building off of shared interests. So, you know, just putting the effort in to sort of, you know, not just sort of doing it willy-nilly, but actually thinking, well, look, I'm gonna use this tool to sort of spread my profile out here in this realm, and that to do that, I'm going to need to look seriously about each little aspect. And, you know, maybe spend, you know, 10, 15 minutes each day, mm-hmm. you're reading stuff, reposting. And the other thing they said, they talked about was endorsing people. And if you've made connections with people, and, you know, I know a lot of the ones that I've connections I've got right now are journalists and you know, endorse them. Do you know this person is a good editor or is a photographer or whatever, and you endorse them in that, and it helps them out, and you know, it helps to sort of foster that connection.
But the endorsement thing is a two-edged sword.
Mm-hmm.
People can endorse you for anything. They have
That's
to be
true.
Your first-degree connection. So I always go in, and I carefully select the areas
right.
that I accept endorsements in.
Right.
So I've been recommended probably endorsed for over 50 different things. There's only 12 things that show up on my profile,
mm-hmm.
and that's it.
Right, because what ends up happening is you're allowing other people to sort of define who you are.
Exactly.
And so you still want to keep control.
Journalism would be a biggie for you.
Right.
And if people are endorsing you for, you know, playing left field.
Right.
Who cares?
Yeah, yeah. Well, unless I'm looking for a job in Major League Baseball.
Well, there you go.
Well, there you go. Well, this is really kind of fascinating. I think we're going to sort of wrap it up here. But thanks for coming in here, Mark. I found this really interesting and entertaining.
My pleasure.
You've been listening to It's All Journalism, a weekly podcast about the changing state of the media. You can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes or find out more information about us at itsalljournalism.com. We'd like to hear what you have to say. If you have topics you'd like us to cover or suggestions about who to interview, email us at editor@itsalljournalism.com. Also look for It's All Journalism on Facebook and follow us on Twitter @alljournalism.